you know, before the kids leave, I just want to read scripture real quick to kind of, you know, and, you know, something, you know, Gary was talking about was quoting out of 2 Corinthians there, you know, talking about the joy of just giving, you know, to be a blessing to somebody. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17, you know, if you've been around here at all, I've quoted it, we've talked about it here before, but it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You know, sometimes when people come to the church, or especially here, you know, we are different, and it's, how can I say, interesting, because what happens is, if you come here and you're not born again, it's weird. You know, I'll just say that. It's real weird when we watch things and we see things. Because here's the thing. When you watch TV, you watch the news, they're processing us through the natural man. And it won't work. It just won't work, right? When you become born again, you're a new creature. Even though your thinking may not be there yet because you just get born again, it is something where now you begin to understand things because your nature is like God's. But when you have a nature that's not like God, it's hard to understand. Yeah. It's hard to be able to begin to comprehend things. Now, there are people, not saying that, you know, people out there in the world or people, excuse me, in other churches, we're not saying that, you know. But what I am saying is when you come from a worldly mindset into an environment like this, your head goes tilt, right? It just does. Now, I've been around this stuff most all of my life, so to me it's natural, right? I mean, I've seen people basically swinging off chandeliers and crazy stuff, you know? I mean, I grew up in old school Pentecostalism, you know, where it's just, there's some pretty interesting stuff going on here, right? And we didn't really understand the word to an extent, and we just kind of did things because we didn't really understand. And that's okay, too. You know, we need to be founded in the word, but the point is this, that when we're born again, we have the nature of God inside of us, things begin to click. If you don't, it's weird, right? It's just strange. And we, you know, manifestations or whatever. But you know what? God's into healing people. Isn't that a good thing? You know how many people will fight you tooth and nail to the grave to argue because they get mad because somebody gets healed and it comes back to control issue. You know, religious people are about control. It is, right? Because if you get outside of the box, our little safety zone, then now we have issues, right? And guess what? God, you can't put God in the box. It just won't work. Because guess what? You think, you got your thumb on God, and all of a sudden he slips out, and he's out somewhere else doing something, using somebody or doing something that you never thought was going to happen, right? I've said this before. You know, I was a heathen. I was in church one time, and there we had a big city youth group. And let's just say this. Statistically speaking, I was probably the last person in that whole group that God was going to use, right? And the two people that, you know, we got the awards for the character and blah, 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 blah. One of them's in prison, the other one's a drunk, right? And I'm the weird guy out here, right? I mean, hello? God is going to use people that doesn't make sense. And so when you're born again, you begin to see these things and things begin to click, right? So again, you know, when your nature changes, then you begin to understand God. It's hard to understand God. You cannot understand God because it's like this. We think about things. Theology is studying about someone. Relationship is knowing them intimately. There is a huge difference, right? I was in, you know, college, undergraduate, and those people are out to lunch. It is all theology. There's nothing wrong with theology because we understand, and I've had many courses on theology. Right? But the point is we're studying about a third person that is just out there nebulously. Like, we're just studying about God. But we have a relationship with God. Now he's daddy. Now he's not some God in a religious sense that is some entity that we can't touch. And it comes back to our nature and him fellowshipping with us and having a relationship with God. You know, too many times, and Adrian said this before, but too many times I've sat there and I even some of the, you know, I've seen experiences, had experiences, but really it comes down to the experiences are great, but my heart was always like, I just want more of you, you know, rather than manifestations are great, but to hear him talk to you is, that's what moves me, right? Amen. We'll let the little people go. Amen. They were all squirrely this morning. Yeah, we are just, let's pray for those workers this morning. Jesus' name, Mr. Gary and Miss Wendy and Miss Debbie in the nursery, grace, mercy, and wisdom. Yes, and peace. And sleep and sleepiness and whatever else is. Anyway, I'm trying. I'm pulling for you guys. Oh, marriage. Yay! So we're talking, beat the guys up. We're gonna keep kind of moving on. We got to kind of keep moving on this morning because I'm not even like, I mean, I don't know how many weeks we've gone here. I'm not even like, yeah, I got a lot of stuff. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28. Ephesians 5, 28. I believe you're going to enjoy this one this morning. You know, this is, especially ladies, how to meet and understand your wife's needs. So we're still on the guys this morning. We'll jump over. Hopefully next week we'll kind of get after the ladies. But Ephesians 5, 28 and 29, I got the NIV here. It says, in this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. Excuse me. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one has ever hated his own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. So really, this scripture is really coming back to men or husbands are to nurture, to take care of, to be there for their wives, right? So, you know, this morning we're going a little different direction. How many remember, I remember when I was 16, your first car, right? Okay, remember that, your first car? I remember I was, you know, 16 years old, and I got my first car. It was, my dad went to an auction, brought it home, so I didn't know what he was going to bring home, and it was a 1982 Plymouth Turismo. I mean, look out, baby. Wow. Four-cylinder. It was a four-speed. Oh, yeah. I should have set that thing on fire the second I got it. It was the biggest heap of garbage I've ever driven, right? But the thing is, when I got that thing, I was dreaming about driving it. Man, I was dreaming about barking through the, you know, through the gears. Everything was awesome, right? You're excited about it. And I was thinking about stereo, cruising, you know, rolling the windows down, right? What are things you're not thinking about? Mileage, right? Resale. With this car, there was no resale. I ended up selling it to my buddy, and he got in a wreck and totaled it, which, I mean, thank God they're all safe, but thank you that, and he was actually wanting to repair and restore the car. I'm like, just haul it off, you know, and it was awful. But, you know, you're thinking about things like, you're not thinking about resale when you're 16 years old. You're thinking about how sweet that red paint is, how that stereo is awesome, right? You're not thinking about car insurance. You're not thinking about gas. You're not thinking about, repair bills, right? You're not thinking any of that stuff. You're just thinking about getting in that car and running it till the tires fall off. And somehow you just think when you're on the lot or if you look at, you know, used cars, because, you know, especially when you're shopping around, you're looking at cars, you know, you're shopping online, right? We just bought a car here, just this last year. you're looking at cars, you're pricing things, you're doing things. And I mean, it's just all this research goes into, you know, buying a car. But again, you're never thinking about, I mean, you do have the awareness of, oh, stuff can break down. But you're just the mentality. Some people are just like, let's see, I can make the payment. It looks nice. Let's buy it, right? Sometimes it doesn't quite work that way. Mm-hmm. So again, we don't think about things like mileage. The same with marriage, guys. Most people aren't prepared for the maintenance in marriage. I know that's kind of weird thinking about that, but to me, I'm thinking marriage is maintenance. I mean, think about it. You know, when we got a new one here today, little baby. When you have little ones, I mean, they're fun. Then all of a sudden, you got to feed them. You got to change those diapers. There's a little maintenance going on, right? A few sleepless nights, whatever. I remember I was a friend of mine. I got my car, right? And back then they still had Happy Joe's around. Remember Happy Joe's, the pizza places, you know? I love the taco pizza. I shouldn't be talking about food right now. I'm sorry, guys. That slipped out. But anyway, so we were there. Me and some of my buddies, we're having pizza. We're having a good time, you know, and then we're going to go out and do some other things. And I get in that car. All right, yeah. Click, click, click. Click, click, click. Nothing. Well, starter went out, right? There weren't the funds for that night. So I had to go buy a starter, put that on. You ever notice, too? For example, you go, let's say you buy two cars. Let's say you go the top of the line Chevy, and you go buy a used Ferrari. Okay? They may cost the same, right? Let's say you buy like a $50,000, $60,000, you know, Chevy, really sweet truck, maybe even more than that now, and you find a used, Ferrari. Even though they may cost the same, the maintenance is going to be a whole lot different, right? You know, a Chevy, you can go over here, may spend, you know, this guy here knows more than I do. I don't know, $100 an hour, something like that, maybe more than that. Yeah, okay, for labor, plus parts. You go get a Ferrari serviced, you're talking three times that, just in labor probably, maybe more. You got to import something from Italy, you know. Hello? I've read some people where they just do routine maintenance on a Ferrari engine, a $10,000 bill, right? Well, what I'm saying is the cost of that car, some cars, I mean, you may get a really good deal on it, but the maintenance on that thing is going to be, it's going to be up there, right? So in the same thing, like, you know, guys and gals, we walk down the aisle, we think that, you know, we say I do, everything's done and it's awesome. But the work begins, right? To maintain a relationship. I mean, I got an old car at home and kind of picking it around and tearing into it, doing stuff. I'm like, oh, there's one more thing I got to fix. Oh, this didn't work quite right. Yeah, you know. It just... Again, relationships are maintenance. That's all it is. It's maintenance. Andrew and I had a home down in Oskaloosa, you know, before we moved to Tulsa. Big two-story house, really nice. You know, it was nice and, you know, really quaint. The lady that was there, you know, she was into gardening and she liked landscaping and she sold the house we bought from her and moved just a couple streets away. This little quaint cottage kind of looking thing, you know. Of course, we got it. You know, I mean, at that time, we just hadn't been married that long, and we were living in a trailer at the time. And so it was a big thing for us, you know. But windows needed replaced. We ended up replacing the siding on it, right? The furnace. central air at some point needed to be replaced. We didn't replace that. When we were there, we sold it eventually. But the roof, thank God, had been, you know, redone a couple years before. So there's some maintenance going on. Let me just say this. Immaturity, when we too talk about relationships, immaturity causes us to enjoy the pleasures of something without assuming responsibility for it, right? That's immaturity. I mean, some of us have kids that, you know, have cars, especially those of us who have teenagers when they have cars, right? Man, it's awesome. This is my car. This is my car. And then something breaks down and it's like, Dad, what are you going to do about it? Right? I mean, we're young and immature. And anytime responsibility comes, immaturity shoves that off to somebody else. Real immaturity is to get rid of something or reject it simply because it requires maintenance or it breaks down. Right? Can you imagine every time your car breaks down or anything that happens with your house? All right, guys, we're moving again. All right, let's pack it up. We're moving. Leaky faucet, we're getting out of here. Place a dump, right? Can you imagine the cost of that every time that you get, well, every time the car, the air conditioner's not working, it's hot out today. I'm trading it in right now. I need to call Doug up and let's get down to the Chevy dealership, right? So he can hook me up with something. That's really immature, isn't it? And you know what? There are people like that out there. So, but again, what if it comes back to our relationship with our spouse? I mean, you can't sell a car every time. Well, you could, but I mean, sell a car every time something breaks down. Can you imagine selling your house every time something breaks down? You know, imagine talking to a realtor on that. Yeah, well, let's see. You've lived here a month. And you're selling your house. No, that's immaturity, isn't it? Immature people want to bail every time something happens, right? And again, you know, there's nothing wrong with having lots of stuff, but obviously the longer you live, you understand one thing. The more stuff you have, the more maintenance and the more cost it costs to keep the stuff, right? You have a house, and you got to cut the grass or get AstroTurf. We were just talking about this fourth church, you know. We'll get AstroTurf, and then we'll have to, I'll just get a leaf blower and clean it up once in a while. All right, no, but you got to cut the grass. You got to do things, right? It's like kind of the, you know, I love boats, but I never have a boat. I say never, but I don't want a boat because, number one, I got to pay somebody. I got to pay to store it. I got to, you know, pay insurance, got all these other things. They're great, but I just think about the maintenance. Other people, you know, that's their thing, and it doesn't matter what it is. I'm going to have a boat. I'm going to have a camper. I'm going to have these things. Great, but it's what it costs maintenance. And the same with our relationship. We have a spouse. We have something. There's a maintenance. We've got to maintain things. So if we took, again, our God-given responsibility to provide for our partners, our needs to maintain our relationships properly, there would be very few serious issues in marriage. Again, in marriage, the answer isn't to reject your spouse and to get a new one, but to assume responsibility and fix the problems. Right? And again, that's the world for us. They don't want to fix things or work through things. I just fell out of love with them. I always laugh because I always think, you know, especially got the cute baby here. You know, you say, well, I just fell out of love with my kids. You know, I mean, they would roast you on the 6 o'clock news. Can you imagine that if you got on there and had an interview with somebody? I mean, they would just tear you limb for limb. But it's acceptable in the world for relationships, isn't it? Right? And, you know, I get it. You know, if you, before you came to Jesus, and again, there are things that under the blood, if you've gone through some of those things, divorce and everything else too, there's, you know, there's no condemnation for those things. Because again, you know, if you're, you know, going through the, or have gone through those situations, you know, you can definitely be restored. So there's nothing that can't be. But we can't succumb to the world's mentality that everything is going to be, you know, well, we'll just get rid of this person, you know. I always like to say, no matter where you go, there you are. I mean, you can run. I have a friend of mine. I had some friends of mine that they were like, oh, I got to get out of here. Man, I got to go move here. This is great over here. And then all of a sudden, it was like 2 months later, yeah, I think I'm going to move back over here. This place is just awful, terrible. Wait a minute. It was the oasis of salvation. But what happened was your destructive behavior, again, whenever you went, you blew things up, right? You ever have those people, they're just very destructive personalities. It doesn't matter who they're around. They could be around Mother Teresa, and they're going to get in a fight over something, right? You know, you're just around those people. They just have destructive behavior. Let's just say it. Many marriage problems are the result of shallow thinking, right? Irresponsibility. Many people are wanting marriages without maintenance. They want thrills without responsibilities and fun without faithful devotion. It all comes back to immature and unrealistic expectations, right? Man, this is amazing this morning, isn't it? Isn't this just amazing? Right, just all on the edge of your seat this morning. Two things, again, a couple. We'll talk about that in a minute. But men are basically the same, and women are basically the same, right? Doesn't mean that, you know. But what it means is, men and women have certain makeup that, no matter what you do, even though there's personality differences, even there are certain things that we're all designed. God has designed us and created us in a certain way, right? Two things that men need to know about women. Number one. Men and women are different, right? Isn't this just amazing? Men and women are different. Guys, women are not going to think or be like us. And number two, there are four major needs of women, of a woman, and how to meet their basic needs, okay? Four. So, obviously men, we notice the physical differences between men and women. And a lot of men want, obviously, women to look like women but think like men. And it's not going to happen, right? I know this is all just really super deep stuff this morning, but there might be some people like, really? So, for example, you know, we have a communication. I always like to think, you know, when I was in college, we were talking about inner communication skills, meaning, you know, if I say something to you, you're going to filter it through what? Your thought process, your experiences, and everything else. So those are filtering process, right? We could say, a woman would say things like, well, honey, I just want you to hold me. A man doesn't process it that way, right? Because why? We're thinking that our wives are thinking the same thing we are. Or processing the same things we are. And they're not. They're just not. Ask me, was it, you know, 22 years ago? Ha! I remembered. Yeah. Right? I always say something that we were talking about, you know, and we've been married for, like, 22 years, baby. See, I got the numbers down, okay? Whew! Got it down. But, But being married that long, you understand that there are some different thought processes going on, right? I mean, you know, I've gone through the school of hard knocks with Principal Knuckle Sandwich and, you know, everything else going on. You learn some things that along the way. Men obviously have a need for physical relationships, but then women have a need for affection. Okay? So that's where sometimes, how can I say, the struggle comes in or the conflict. You know, if husbands and wives would simply listen to each other, one more time, listen to each other, and take each other for face value and apply themselves to meet the other person's needs, right? Happiness would prevail. But again, many people, they get married for the expectation the other person's going to make them happy, right? And really, when you listen to most of the traditional wedding vows, it's there for what? Till death do us part, to have and to hold, through sickness and, right? I don't hear a lot of, sometimes there is, but a lot of ushy-gushy, feely, right? It's really more your sacrifice for the other person. You know, not only do women need affection, but they also need deep, intimate connection. Adrian, she likes to get on a road trip with me because then I'm captive. I can't get away, right? Right, right. And then the thing is, she likes to drive sometimes where I'm because then, you know, I can't jump out the door because she'll step on it, right? No, I'm a captive audience. Why? Because we have time to talk. And she'll talk about all kinds of stuff. And she likes to get in those cars, you know, scenario. We're on the road. We're just trucking along. She can talk to me. We can talk together. And that's one of our things that we like to do, right? Sometimes we'll just get out and let's just get out and drive. Okay. Right. Toss kids in. Maybe sometimes if we're on a long trip, they'll maybe, you know, once in a while watch a movie while they're watching something, then we talk, right? And it's our way of connecting with each other, you know, because I don't like to sit still very long. I'm like one of those people where, I mean, there's something to work on around the house. I got to do something, right? I can't sit still very long. I'm just that person. I have to like get like, oh, this is, I got to get this done. I got to cut the grass. I got to, you know. And she knows that if I'm around the house very long or something else, I'm going to get busy working or doing something because that's the way I'm wired. I just have to be doing something all the time. I can't sit still. So, like, I can't retire. I mean, I would retire, but once I retired, I'd do something else because I can't sit around, you know. Like, I get bored with TV. I can't watch TV. Can't watch things, you know. So I have to do something all the time. So that's our little outlet that we like to do. And, you know, again, when spouses reject each other, and especially call each other names, that's no way to live, right? Nothing changes. And I like to think of it this way, too. You know, when you have a spouse, you are, especially when you're coming to your spouse or you're talking with them, it's a very vulnerable time, right? What's the most, you're part of the body, whatever part of the body is, like the other day I stubbed my toe, right? I didn't even think about any of the other. The most sensitive part of your being is going to be the one that's in pain, right? No matter what that is. At your most sensitive, vulnerable time, could be a make it or break it moment. When you come to your spouse and you are, I need to tell you something. I need help in this area. You know, this really hurts my feelings when you said this. You know, ugh, you're just always, you know, so sensitive about everything. I'm just so tired of it. Why don't you just get your act together? I mean, that's the time where that can cause a lot of damage at those sensitive times. And it's very, how can I say, more of a challenge afterwards to try to repair things. especially when somebody comes to you in a very vulnerable moment. And the only way to successfully live with and to love our spouse is to honor and accept the inherent differences and meet the other needs, I like to say, aggressively. Aggressively. It's important. Four basic needs for women. Number one, security. Would you say that that's important, ladies? Security. So whether you have a lady who's living with her spouse or parents or whoever, whatever the scenario is, they want security. Now, don't do this. All right, I'm telling you right now, guys, don't do this. Okay, you want to test the security? Go to a mall, walk up to some woman walking by herself, and then you'll see security issues. Hello? Right? Women have a need for security. So you don't believe me, then go do that. And then you'll have a police officer in about 5 minutes asking you what you're doing, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I can walk to a mall, and I don't care. You know, I don't have those issues, right? Because when I walk somewhere, I don't think about, you know, security and everything, right? But women need to feel secure. Wife's basic need for security is satisfied by adequate protection and provision, right? By a God-fearing husband. So not only physically protected, but then also financially. So husbands must communicate four things. Number one, must communicate that he cares for his wife above everything else, that he's there for her. I mean, whether it's, you know, husband or wife, you always feel like if you step out on a limb, you do something, you want that spouse to be there for you, to support you, right? The second thing, must communicate his admiration and love for his wife. Communicate it. Oh, she knows I love her. Okay. Maybe you said that on your wedding day, but it kind of needs to be communicated ever so often, right? Between here and there. Kind of need to do that, right? Yeah, I love you. Whatever. You need to be sincere also. I mean, you know, I've got 3 little miniature wives at home, right, that like to critique everything daddy wears, watch everything, right? Daddy, gonna wear that? Yes, I am, and go to your room right now. No playtime for you. All right. Be sincere. Here's something else, too. Say something special about every area of her life. Never use sarcasm, right? That's always a real, you know. Use your words correctly, and then also praise your wife every day and never stop. Never stop. Am I getting an A+ for this or what? Am I knocking it out of the park today? I am. It's like, whatever. See what she's got to put up with. Matthew 5:27-28, King James, while you're turning there. In the last one, or number three, he must communicate his faithfulness. Now, teenage boys, you know, whistle at girls. Married men, don't whistle at girls, okay? Well, teenage boys shouldn't do it either. But my point is that you don't. Again, adultery is not just, it's not a just a physical act, but it's a what? Heart issue. Jesus talks about this here. He says, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Verse 28. But I say unto you, whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already in his heart. You ever been around those people? I've been around those people too. That, you know, they're married or they're with somebody, but they sure wish they weren't. You know? I mean, they got a comment for everything that walks by. You know? And it's not just a, hey, how are you? It's a... I mean, it's the whole full body scan, right? And this isn't a science fiction show. It's those people that are... I mean, what a... You talk about making your spouse insecure. That's right up there with them. Don't compare your wife to other women. Not a good thing. Something else we never do is discuss divorce. Don't ever discuss divorce. The devil loves to play that game, right? You just talk about it, and then he'll just get in there and ride that pony for what it's worth. Talk about it. Now, if you open that door, I don't even know why I even married you. Oh, that's empowering to the relationship. Yay. Husband must communicate his dedication to provide financially. So there are four ways a man has communicates his commitment to provide financially in four areas. Number one, pray for God's blessing and direction. You know, the worldly men don't do that at all. You know, God can open up doors and do things for you. Number two, aggressively seek the best employment possible. Number three, being a hard and faithful worker. And number four, being a wise money manager. Pray for God's blessing and direction. I mean, you may be really trying hard, but God's telling you to go over here and you're over here. See, there's all these elements involved. You can be over here when God wants you over here, and you can work real hard, right? That's why the Bible says that obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. Number one, we need to be led by the Spirit. We need to go where we need to be. So again, you can be, looking for the best employment, really hard worker, really good money manager, and God says, I don't even want you doing that. Just by hard work, you'll be able to make it, but God has another open door for you. Same thing with God can move you in the right direction and put you where we're at, but you're lazy. You're not a good steward of everything. Why is it? I feel like God told me to do this. Well, maybe he did. Non-sexual affection is important, guys, for our wives. I know that word's out there. I just said it. I was at Rhema one time, and one of my instructors in my pastor's lab was saying, you know, don't ever say the word sex in church. Don't ever, because you'll have little old ladies that'll be freaking out on you. Okay. All right. Thank you. I'd rather say it than draw pictures, okay? Let's just say that, all right? We're not doing that. I'll just say the word, okay? Keep things sort of G-rated around here, all right? We don't want anybody having heart attacks or anything else. No, I'm not using dirty language, so. But guys, sometimes, our women, our wives need that, right? They need to know that they can approach us in a safe manner, right? Meaning that, don't worry, ladies, we'll pick on you. Don't worry, your time's coming. But the need for open communication, right? You got to let the barriers down. This is the biggest thing that I've talked to people over the years. Everything else, he won't listen, she won't love. The nail in the head, right? Right. But there's just a nail right there. She's trying to fix everything, right? See, that's a communication issue, right? We need to work on those things, right? Yeah, I was kind of leaning a little more on the guy's side on that one. So, you know, not picking on ladies or anything. But again, this is one of the most vulnerable moments in a marriage. Guys, when we say things like, when you know, open communication, that was fine. It was okay. Yeah, it was all right. Ladies want details. They like details. Really? Because I'll come home sometimes later asking, well, how'd that go? That was all right. You were there for 2 hours. And all you have to say is, it's all right. Yeah, we talked. About what? Stuff. It was okay. It was good. Stuff. Yeah. Not very good. Okay. Not very good. So, you know, sometimes I'm like just kind of after conversations with people or whatever, I'm just kind of, okay, I'm done. All right. But when I come home, the interrogations begin. Spotlight's on me. Yeah. That's right. So sometimes I just, like I'm, you know, getting pulled over by the cops. I just look straight ahead, answer yes or no, until I know what I'm being accused of. All right? So I've learned that since I was a teenager. Just cops stops me or just look ahead, yes, no. Don't confess anything until I figure out what I'm being pulled over for. So, same scenario. So, you know, women need some questions answered, don't they? We need talking. And again, guys, like we do, we always kind of get on the open road and ride or drive or do something. And in the process, it gives her that need to be able to talk and just have that conversational piece. And again, men don't need to act like women. Right? You're never going to, you know, never going to sit down and have a little chatty tea and everything, act like a woman. No, we're not saying that at all. It means just be you, but, you know, succumb and help your wife fulfill those needs in her. Right? Again, anytime information is being withheld from the other spouse, it is a breach of security or communication, right? I mean, Adrian has passwords to all my stuff. It's not like I'm, you know, hiding anything. Now, if it's not Christmas, anniversary, birthday, then shouldn't be hiding anything, right? Hello? Yeah. She knows if I got something going on. I'm like, it's really none of your business right now, okay? So just don't ask any questions, all right? So, yeah. Yeah. Because I got something planned. Right? You know, the thing of it is, too, sin loves darkness, secrecy, being alone, right? It doesn't like to have things exposed. It doesn't like light shown on it, right? You ever think about too? You know, every bar that I ever played in, every bar that I've been in, every club or anything else, it's always dark. You ever notice that? They don't have like the big, you know, spotlights and everything on. It's all dark, you know? You got the band of the praise and worship. You got the bartender. He's the pastor. Everybody's telling the problems to, right? You get the bouncers. They're the ushers, right? I mean, it's just a perverted church is all it is, right? take up an offering. You throw money, you know, for the beers and everything else too. Right? Sin likes darkness, secrecy, hiding. Last one here. Leadership is important. Guys, we need to have leadership. Right? It doesn't mean we rule over our wives and we do. It just means that we're taking control, we're leading, we're moving forward on things, right? It doesn't matter how dominant your wife is, she wants to see leadership from her husband. That's part of security, isn't it? That's part of safety. That's part of those things. Husband needs to lead in finances, spiritual life, discipline, training the children, and every other area. At night, I'm the one reading to the girls. We're talking about things at night, right? We need to show an interest in every area of our family, even dishes. Come on, ladies. I better be a big fat amen out of that, I'll tell you what, right now. Right? Now, granted, I mean, you know, there are things that you stay in your own lane on because you don't want me to cook, okay? I can help. Oh, okay, here's the milk. There we go. Here's the butter. You know, I'm that guy. So, right? Okay. Give me some sugar. Okay, here's sugar. What else do I need to do? And then I scrub the dishes. Yay, it's my job. So we always had a system going on. She cook and I clean, right? So we stay in her lane. But the thing of it is, you know, come home. Now I worked all day. That's your job, right? Mm-mm. We're in it to win it together. So again, when a husband doesn't lead, a wife becomes insecure and frustrated. Frustrated. Now, I don't rule over everything, but I show an interest in things, right? I show an interest in things, like I am interested, I want to help. But sometimes, you know, I'm always there in case some things get haywire, right? Because remember, immaturity wants to jump out of everything, but leadership wants to jump in and fix it. Right? You know? Finances get, all right, well then, what are we going to do here? How are we going to fix it? Rather than, I don't know, I just give up. We're just done. I don't know. We'll just put the girls up for adoption. That's whatever. Right? Oh, that's tempting. What if I get any cash out of that? Yeah, it's pretty tempting. Again, leadership is not just jumping in, bullying everybody around. It means you're there to help support when things do get sideways. You're there to step in and give answers, right? And that's what we as men, husbands, need to do, right? There. We're the safety net. We should be. Next week, we're going to be talking about women. And we will talk about some things for the ladies. So, you know, don't worry. We've got a lot of stuff on our plate to work on, too. So, amen. But the key is, if we begin to listen to each other, I know, probably sounds like a Dr. Phil session here, right? But if we really take each other serious, listen to each other, the needs, guys, if we will understand that our wives are really looking for affection, they want that conversational piece, they want to be taken seriously, they want to be, you know, honored and revered, you know, things are going to work out. Right? We'll talk more about men's needs in the future, but But we have the Holy Spirit also help us and lead us and guide us, right? Because sometimes we, you know, we think something, but then something else could be going on. And that's why it's important for the Holy Spirit. And also, too, if you get the look, then you know, right? The look.
Yeah.
I was laughing so hard one time I was at Raymond. This lady was crying, and one of the other ushers said, "Well, I perceive that in my spirit there's something wrong." What was your first clue, Sherlock? So sometimes we can just observe our spouse, can't we? And we can see things, right? And it's not just observing things and seeing things, but it's the taking the initiative to step out and to try to connect with them and find out what's going on, right? Same with our kids or anybody. Father, we just come before you. We thank you for this time together that you're a good God. Even though some of this may seem even dry at times or elementary, it's still a good reminder in your word in Ephesians that husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one hates his own body, but they feed and care for the body just as Christ does the church. We thank you, Lord, that the most important thing is love. Love doesn't go to divorce court. Love is not mean or hateful. Love is not abusive. Love is nurturing, caring, thoughtful, concerned, interested, gives initiative, is assertive, protective, and provides. We thank you, Lord, that marriages are being strengthened, marriages are being healed. We thank you that there's a grace and mercy to be able to change and to grow and to develop in our marriages, that it only gets better every day, Lord. That we will cling to our spouses like never before. You know, this morning, if you don't know Jesus, if you have not made him the Lord of your life, we want to pray with you afterwards, one-on-one. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit or filled, or you need prayer of agreement or anything in your life, we always want to pray. You know, Jesus there in the book of Mark, after he overturned the tables, he said, you know what, this is going to be a house of prayer. My house would be a house of prayer. It's just fellowship with God. It goes from theology to relationship. And those Pharisees had theology, just study about God. They didn't know God. Friday night, it's going to be good. I've seen those videos. They are great. Very thought-provoking. And, yes, you definitely want to be here Friday night because it's really good stuff. So, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Have a great week. Hallelujah. You can go eat now. We've been talking about it. Taco pizza and everything.